why you're clapping? You're clapping because Jesus is good and I'm alive. I've been flat out on my back for the last 3 or 4 days. And today is the day that the Lord has made. So we're here. Amen. I want to walk you through getting this Miles a Minute app. I'll introduce myself and then we will start with the remainder of the sermon. Go ahead and grab your phones. If you're an iPhone user, this has been available to you already. The Miles a Minute app has been available as a resource. That's what it was made to be, a tool so that you could not only be encouraged every day with a minute or so devo from Pastor Miles, but that you could easily share his thoughts on scripture and the way God calls us to live our lives with your friends, either via social media or text, email, all of those avenues. And we recently released it for the Android app. And so I want to allow you some time to pull out your phones and download it if you haven't already done it. Don't fight it. Do it. There's been a massive, massive amount of downloads thus far. There have been so many shares. People have not only been encouraged by the word, but they've also given their lives to Jesus through the app. That's unbelievable. Amen. So here's what we want you to do. Go to milesaminute.com on your phone. You can tap into the Wi-Fi here at the church and go that route. If you try to go via your own cell service in this bomb shelter, God be with you. Click the download for Android link if you're on an Android phone, or just download it for your iPhone otherwise. And then step 3 is to share the app. That's what we want you to do. We want you to share it with your social network. If you don't know what a social network is, just sit in your seat. Just put a smile on. We want you to do that. That lady thought that was really funny. Thank you. That gives me encouragement today. We want you to share it with your friends. Why? Because we think it's going to be a powerful tool. The attention span, if you haven't noticed, of like the recent, 10 generations has slowly started to diminish. And so it's unbelievable that you can get something so precise in a minute's worth of time that can make you go, huh. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Okay, so that's that. Let me also remind you that next week, the 16th, we want to invite you to bring your cell phones to church, not like you leave them at home, but we want you to bring them. We're going to conduct a church-wide survey as we approach the next sermon series, which I think is going to be pretty great. Miles is going to be leading it, so bring your cell phone. If you ever wanted to speak your mind, now's going to be your time. You just better be quick with the thumbs, right? Okay, good. My name is Pastor Mingo. My first name is not Pastor. My last name is not Mingo. I am a pastor here at The Rock, and I've been here for quite some time. I've been in the shadows, though. I was the young adult pastor for probably the better part of 7 years, and recently the Lord has taken me on a journey that I could only describe as his leading, unbelievable leading. Scary, daunting, riddled with fear, sometimes even wondering if I should even go on another day challenge. And I believe with all of my heart that today has been the pinnacle. Today is the pinnacle of that journey. Not because I get to speak to you about that journey, but I really do believe that the Lord has a similar journey set aside for you. That it has nothing to do with the work that he's been bringing me through, but that he's so personally inclined to see you walk on the journey that he set aside for you. And that's what I'm excited about. That's why I peeled myself out of bed today, because I said, Lord, this is going to be a day. I guarantee it. So would you do me a favor? Would you bow your heads with me as we get into scripture? We will clap for Jesus thoroughly today, I promise you. Bow your heads and let's pray for Jesus' graces on both our minds and our hearts and in my body today. Jesus, you are at the center. Lord, it's just a matter of us recognizing that you are there. And Lord, I pray that that's our confession today, that if you have not been the center of our attention, the center of our lives, the center of our focus, Lord, that we would give you the due that you are deserved because you are God. Lord, we ask that you railroad us this morning with your scripture. Lord, I thank you for what you have healed up in my body thus far. I pray that by the end of this service that there wouldn't be a trace of what I've been battling for the last 4 days, Lord. We know that this is up to the enemy. And Lord, we just pray that your spirit would speak clearly despite the clouds that are in my head right now. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, get your Bibles out. We're not going to go slow, okay? Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to go. And here's what I'll tell you. Easter this last year was a wild pivot point for me. See, I had told you earlier that I had been doing young adult ministry for the last 7 years of my life. It was a calling that only the Lord had provided means by which I could actually do. I was a video guy at The Rock prior to being a young adult pastor. I felt the Lord was calling me to give my life to him. I wanted to be this awesome video maker. I wanted to make movie trailers because I wanted to see movies before they got out, and I wanted to do some awesome things with film and media and television production. And the Lord had rerouted my passions, and he said, why don't you go to Bible school and I'll keep you gifted in the media world. So I'll keep you going in those talents, but I want you to apply yourself to me. So I dropped out of TFM, the major, and then I went to Bible college, and I said, let's hit the reset button on what it means to know the Lord. And I did a solid college career in learning about the scripture, and the Lord tuned in me this idea. We're going to get 2 degrees. We're going to get a communication degree, because what good is it to know about God and not be able to describe him and share him to people that you run into every day? And we're going to get a Bible degree, because what good is it to talk to somebody if you don't talk about the only thing that matters? God, right? His saving grace in your life. So that would be my course. And I would go from being a kid at The Rock who did videos to one day being asked, would you be willing to be a young adult pastor in a department that doesn't exist yet, a young adult department? That's a daunting experience, especially when you have the ultimate young adult pastor and your senior pastor. Amen? It's like, do you want to compete with this man or not, right? So I said, tell you what, Miles, you take Sundays, I'll take anything else you give me, and we'll see how this thing goes. And for 7 amazing years, the Lord was preparing in me a ministry that met people exactly where they were, in the exact spot and broken places that they had found themselves. We know this today as Pervasive Hope, right? It's the mission of our church to go and see the hope of Jesus proclaimed to every street and every person, no matter where they are, that we would have a solution of hope given directly to somebody right where they are lost. And this last Easter, we did this unthinkable thing, and maybe you've heard Miles explain it or mention it every now and then. I'll mention it now. There is a group of people streaming in a very small pocket at The Rock Thrift Store. This is their second week in a row. Last week, 3 people gave their lives to Jesus because of the efforts of some very humble volunteers. And today, we want to say we're excited that you're with us. It's probably chaos where you're at, but you made it this far. Amen? It's called a microsite, right? What we did was we decided to take a bunch of projectors, right? The things that you shoot videos on when you go together to watch the Super Bowl at a friend's house. We took a bunch of projectors from the church. We didn't tell facilities. We yanked them out of the classrooms. We went to all these random places that we had been praying on. Not like praying like, aha, but like praying on. A little bit of praying, but mostly praying. We set up shop, and through the live stream, you guys know that there's tens of thousands of people that stream online. We logged in sdrock.com/live, and we set up an opportunity for people to stream along with us here in Point Loma in the darkest places. We set our courses for people who were literally locked in where they could not come to a church service. We started at a little rescue mission in downtown San Diego that brings a mass population of homeless people, God's Extended Hand. You probably heard that name before through our Good Friday efforts last year. And in that 8 o'clock service, I remember being so scared that there was going to be a total flop in our effort. that we were going to set up shop and do all this work, and I was going to communicate to the director, man, it's going to be good, and there's going to be people that are going to come. And as I walked in at 7 a.m., the streets were empty. I didn't see a single person. And I was like, man, people like spend the night waiting for these doors to open, and it is vacant right now. And yet, faithfully, we stepped in, and we set up shop, and I just breathed deep, asking the Lord, please show up where I feel you've been leading us. And 7:50 rolls around, and it's like a swell of people that are yanking at the doors to get in. I can't even explain to you with justice the overwhelming sense of what happened. It's worth clapping for, not because it happened, but because people flooded that building in a way that they at the mission had never seen before. It was packed wall to wall, kitchen to kitchen. There were people standing, and for the first time, and so the director says, in many years, there was a church that came down and decided to use their Easter service in the mission so people could hear about the good news that Jesus had died and rose again, right? There was probably 40-something people that gave their lives to Jesus that morning alone, and I knew that something was going to happen that morning, right? Amen. It's good. We went for a back-to-back. We went from the mission to a friend's bar, and I asked him earlier that week, I said, hey, man, I know that like you serve out solid business 4 nights a week here, but on Sunday morning you're empty, right? Could it be that we could set up shop in here and see something happen where maybe we could run a service, right? I was just waiting for the like, you're crazy, man. I was waiting for that answer, but thank God that he had worked in us this really great relationship since high school, and he said, you know what? My place is your place. You're crazy, but let's go for it. And in fact, he had been offering out his space for a few other churches to use, but it was so taboo in their minds that they didn't step foot into his place. But if you look through and through in scripture, where does Jesus go? He goes to the dark places where people need the most help. And if you haven't been to a bar lately, that's what they're serving up, right? So Jesus goes, go to this bar. And for the 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock service, I set up shop and I'm like, Lord, it makes sense in a mission at the bar. I'm just wondering what's going to happen here, right? So I sit down and I watch person by person come wandering into this bar, sit down, tune into the service, give their lives to Jesus at the end of it, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm really sorry now. I doubted you once, I doubted you twice. Third time, this is going to be my fault. 12 service comes, I'm ready for like action. Okay, Lord, bring them in. We're buying extra donuts, right? We're going for it. No way to the soul like a donut for somebody when they're listening to the word, right? 12 o'clock starts, empty bar. We get through worship, empty bar. Miles is 10 minutes into his message. He's shouting out the bar because I've been texting him. What's up, everybody down at the bar? And I'm like, it's just me. It's just me, Miles. Don't waste your time. I'm packing up the bar. And you do it in a sequence. You disconnect the sound system. You roll down the screen. The projection, once you roll down the screen, shoots onto the wall. You turn off the projector. And before I can turn the projector off, I hear one guy walking down the stairs. And the guy came down the stairs not because somebody invited him, but he had just heard, because when I disconnected the sound, it defaulted to the house sound, so it got a lot louder by chance. And he heard the message on the streets on the gas lamp quarter, and he decided to wander in. And that guy gave his life to Jesus at the end of the 12 o'clock service. I'm telling you all these things because it seems crazy simple to just take the live stream and walk it into a place and turn it on and expect God to do something big. But then again, God has never called us to do crazy complicated things in his name. Amen? His calling has always been pretty simple, hasn't it? Will you take a step? Watch what I can do in a step. And this is where we're going to go this morning. And I want to pray for you that your ears would be opened and your heart would be softened for the scripture that's going to come next, because this, I believe, is going to be the groundswell that we have been waiting for. I used to speak at camps, summer camps, and I would always get youth pastors that would say, Mingo, I love what you said this week. The only thing I have a problem with is that I've been saying the exact same thing week in and week out for the last 10 years, and you get up and say it one time, and everyone's ready to go. And I know that Miles has been harping on us so hard to trust Jesus for the unthinkable, but I just wonder if through a nasally congested voice this morning, we might get the clue that we might believe Jesus for who he is, despite who's on stage this morning. So let's go there. You ready? Luke chapter 5. It says this, on one occasion while the crowd was pressing in on him, namely, it's Jesus, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them. They were mending their nets. Two observations. One, Jesus is on the move. This is a common fallacy that I always put on myself, that Jesus is waiting for you to make a decision. Jesus is not waiting for you to make a decision. Mingo, Jesus is not waiting for me to make a decision. He is well on the move. He has been on the move since the day he created man, walking with them in relationship in the garden. He has been on the move since he sent his son to interface with mankind. And he's been on the move since he commissioned his disciples to take up the burden of sharing the gospel. And today in our generation, he is on the move, and yet he invites us graciously to be a part of that movement. Scripture shows us that Jesus is teaching a mass crowd of people. And because they're pressing in on him, he's got an opportunity to utilize a willing heart to further his movement. And it comes by way of some fishermen in their boats. And I love this. I underlined it in my Bible, and you can underline it in yours. It says, when he saw two boats by the lake, he went for them. But, I underlined the word, but the fishermen had got out of them and were washing their nets. This is a timing issue. This is a timing issue. See, Jesus, I would fair to say, is on Mexican time. He's showing up late, right? It would be really great if the disciples, not disciples yet, if the fishermen had just been coming in. They were still all sweaty and done from their overnight of fishing. But Jesus is coming just a little bit later than they would prefer. The Bible says that they're sitting and they're mending their nets. This is the end of their workday. And a pretty tough workday at that. Because we'll find out later in Scripture how bad of a day it's been. And Jesus comes in on his own time, while they're at the end of their workday, and says, well, he says this. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him, hey, would you put out a little from the land? And Jesus sat down and he taught the people from the boat. On Jesus' timing, not the preferred timing of the person that he's interacting with, he makes a very simple request. Can I get in your boat? And do you mind if I teach all these people here? Super basic. And yet, I think that there's something in us, I don't know if it's our culture, I don't know if it's the way that we've been raised, but we like Jesus to operate on our own timing and terms. Amen? If it doesn't happen between the 10 o'clock service and the end of the 10 o'clock service, or if between my set-aside time for me to read about you, Jesus, and my time to go to work, I just don't know if it's going to happen. Right? If I see a need and I'm en route to something that's a little bit more planned, Jesus, it's going to be tough for me to see this one through. Jesus really isn't concerned with your timing. If you checked last, you were created by him. He was not created by you to do your work. You were created by him to do his work. And so your timing, although it's precious to us, in our feeble ways, should always come into second place when it comes to Jesus' timing for what he wants to do. Can you imagine if the disciples were like, you know, Jesus, yeah, go ahead. If Jesus was like, hey, can I use your boat? And they're like, you know, Jesus, not this time. I got a few more nets to mend. Can you imagine? Instead, he's like, hey, can I use your boat? Let's go for it. And the disciples are like, yeah, okay, let's go for it. And so he steps in, and I love it. He just continues the work that he's doing. You following me? People need to hear what he's got to say, and Simon gives him a really easy opportunity to just let him use his stuff. It's step one in, I think, the calling that God has for us. Will you let God use your stuff? It's pretty basic, right? Peter had a boat. Jesus, hey, Peter, can I use your boat? I guess. All right, let's go. And Jesus teaches from the boat, and there are many that come. There are so many that come to know about Jesus because he now has a vantage point from the boat, a little bit of breathing room, and probably a better vantage point to speak and make eye contact with the people who are so eager to hear him. And that was because a fisherman was willing to let him use his stuff. But we go a little bit deeper now. Jesus, once getting into the boat, which was Simon's, asked him to put out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night long and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they did this, they had enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. And verse 7 says, they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and they filled both the boats so that both began to sink. Yay! I hear you, Jesus. What are we going to do? You want me to do a little bit more? You want me to go just a bit farther? The shallows were great, Jesus. I saw you. You used my stuff. You impacted people. I saw that guy who was on the shore. I know him personally. He needed to hear what you said. I'm glad he got that word. I like this. I like this interaction between us, Jesus. You use my stuff. We'll go for big things. And Jesus goes from engaging a mass crowd to engaging a single person. Hey, Peter, why don't we go for a ride? Why don't we go to the deep? And I love, like, I like to think that I'm somebody who, when invited to the deep, right, we make it very spiritual, right? We're like, oh, the deepness, right? Right? Like, it's scary in the deep. I don't care if you're a Marine, like, if you're a Navy SEAL, it's scary to be called to the unknown. Jesus calls us to the deep, each and every one of us, specifically Peter in this moment. And for Peter, he's a skilled fisherman. He knows the waters. That's where he spends his life, fishing. And I love Peter's reaction. I wrote in my Bible, and you can write, I don't know if you write in your Bible, you can do that. It's not like gonna get you struck by lightning. I wrote this. I wrote that it's honest doubt that Peter puts in front of Jesus. He says, listen, man, we fished all night and we didn't catch a thing. And probably the best thing that Peter is looking forward to at this point is just finishing up his day's work of putting out everything he had and coming up empty and just going and sleeping it off. Or maybe going and reconnecting with some friends that he knows aren't going to be so laborious. Have you been there before? Feeling you put everything out, toiling all night long, and yet you come up empty-handed. Sometimes I think that we get deceived thinking that God doesn't want to hear about our woes. And it's not the truth. It's actually so far from the truth. Jesus wants to hear every burden you have. If it's a broken toe or a broken femur, he wants to know that you're hurting. He wants you to lay up those burdens to him because he wants to address them. He wants you to recognize that he's there. Scripture says that he never leaves you or forsakes you. Do you understand that? He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And so Peter, I think in a really empty-minded, just blurting of words, says, you know what, Jesus? You want me to go out into the deep and let the nets out? But I honestly haven't seen a thing. And I've been out here all night long. It's an honest doubt. I love his response, though. And I like to imagine it this way. I want to see Jesus go, right? Just enough silence for him to go, and okay, I'll let my nets out. You know, it's like, Jesus isn't going to like come in and like just say, oh, you know what? Why don't I just let your nets out for you, right? Oh, I'll tell you what. I don't need nets. I'll just make all the fish jump in the boat, right? He lets it sit for whatever amount of time so that the author of Scripture says that Peter confesses, we've been out all night and we didn't catch anything. And I don't know what your Bible shows you, but mine shows me an exclamation mark. So he's a little fired up, frustrated maybe even that Jesus, knowing who he is, the Son of God, able to know all things, is calling him to do something so absurd that he's failed in over and over and over again all night long. And yet his response is, but I'll let my nets out. For some of us in this room this morning, you need to stop for 1 minute dishing out excuses to God. Let it sit and say, I'm ready to let my nets out though. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be obedient. Lord, I know that it has been a tough road thus far, but I'm okay with just taking a step where you would have me take a step. And look at what happens next. It goes in a pretty easy to track sequence. The nets get so overloaded that they begin to rip. They call for their friends. Yo, Juan, I'm in trouble. That's John. Okay, good. Hey, big problems. Bring your boat out. They start hauling a double portion. Both boats start to sink. That could be an amen, but if that's your livelihood, you're like, oh no. Right? Think about it. I've been thinking, it's like this, it's a crazy dichotomy. It's like this two-part. It's an overwhelming of goodness. It's ultra blessing. It's like hitting the lottery. Think about it. A fisherman goes and catches nothing. He catches a load so massive, it sinks not just his boat, but his friend's boat. That is the mega catch of the day. They will write stories about that catch forever. Imagine taking that load to the market and selling it. How much money will they make? But that's not the currency they're after. I think about how destructive it may seem in the moment. The net is their security. The boat is their security. Jesus, I believe this wholeheartedly, is willing to see your securities sink if it means that he is the only thing left in your field of view. You follow me? I do believe that no matter what you cling to, for the fishermen, their boat is their livelihood. Day in and day out, that is what's going to give them the food to feed their families. Jesus says, are you ready to go to the deep? We're going to sink this some. And it's not going to feel good. But you know what you're going to have at the end of the day? Me. And it's better than your boat. And then when the boats start to go, the nets ripping is like the cherry on top, right? Sorry, and I'm like suffering from this head cold, and it's in the opposite order, but it still means the same thing. The nets are the systems, right? How do we catch fish? We use our nets. And when the nets start to rip, you wonder, Lord, when I step out and things start to go haywire, are you really in this? Are you really here? For me, at Easter, being a young adult pastor, stumbling on this vision, it was fear in the greatest sense to me. I can't describe it to you. I felt like I had stumbled upon a gold mine that there was absolutely no way that I could walk away from. And yet I was living in a phenomenal yacht called the Young Adult Ministry, where I literally got to craft what it looked like for a young adult to do ministry in the city. We built a warehouse that got to serve thousands of people over the course of 2 years. And that, my friends, was my security. I could have ridden that train for another 6 years knowing that what I had built was something that was going to pull merit in the eyes of my co-pastors. You follow me? And here was Jesus saying, but Mingo, you want to play in the shallows or do you want to go with me to the deep? You want to play in this thing that I've blessed you with, or do you want to follow the person who gave that to you to a place where your toes can't touch the ground? But the good news is, you're going to only have me to rely on. It's a scary place. It is a fearsome place. It's the only place God wants you to be. It's the only place he wants you to be. Here's the last question I want you to ask yourself. What are the expectations that you've put on your life that Jesus is challenging? Follow me through the rest of this scripture and we'll wrap up. But when Simon Peter saw what was happening, he fell down at his knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. I wrote something at the top of your bulletin that says this: Jesus was a boat-sinking, net-ripping, expectation-defying leader who brought his audiences to a place of astonishment, and in turn, they gave him everything. See, when you get overwhelmed and overloaded, the question is this: do you go running to every vice you have, every hollow solution that you have found in the past, and you say, "These will be my antidotes, these will be my solutions, these will be my saviors"? Or do you go running and falling at the knees of Jesus and you say, "Jesus, depart from me in your display of glory. I'm the one who's tarnished here. I'm the one who needs fixing here. It's not you running a mess in my life. It's just your display of power that I'm not ready for. I'm the one who needs fixing here." That's the posture that we should have. We should mimic Peter to the bones on this one. See, I think that we're in a place, we're in one of two places. And in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to which place you find yourself in. See, the Lord has been teaching me that we come to church for two reasons. One is to find hope, desperate for it, a life wrecked. And we think that somewhere in here, there's going to be a solution in Jesus that we can find. The other is poison. It's habit. You come because you were transplanted somewhere else and you just made this place your Sunday routine. And what's crazy is that you can come here out of hope and end up in habit. You can come here out of hope and you can understand, "Lord, you have given me a promise, a redeeming love that I have now surrendered my life to, and now I will go and deliver that hope to somebody else." And you can skip right over habit and actually become a conduit of hope to other people. Or you settle into habit. Habit is the shallows, my friend. Do not be stuck there. You are far too powerful of a congregation in individuals to just be paralyzed in the shallows. Jesus wants you to go deep with him. He wants you to follow him into the unknown places and to give your life for something that would be far greater than you could ever explain or imagine. Let me pray for you. Jesus, time escapes me. And as I watch this clock count down, Lord, my prayer is this, that your scripture would ring true, that we would be called to a position of movement, Lord. And for those of us sitting in these chairs, God, who have been fooled into making you into a routine, God, would you rip our calloused hearts open? God, would you show us what it means to bleed for the things that you bled for? God, would you break our hearts for the things that break your heart? And if you're in this room this morning and you understand the stirring that I'm talking about, you might have been one of the people on the shoreline that were just coming to hear what Jesus had to say. This morning, I want to tell you that he has what you're looking for. He died and he rose again so that you might have a way to be in relationship with him. And if you feel like your life has been sinking, literally falling apart, that you have nothing left to go to, I promise you this, that an opportunity to follow is right at your door. He's calling you out. He wants you to give your life over to him. He wants to let your boat sink so the only thing you might have in your field of view is him. If that's you this morning, I want you just to stand up and I want you to come and let me pray for you. So if that's the decision you made right now, would you do me a favor? Just stand to your feet. If you need to recognize Jesus as your Savior, if your world has been sinking, stand to your feet right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the overwhelming scenario that you've been in. I want to thank God for allowing you to know him personally. Stand to your feet right now. It's not wild. It's not a crazy decision. It is a calculated decision where you assess where you have fallen short and you realize that God can fill the gap. Amen. Stand to your feet right now. If this is a decision that you want to have, to allow Jesus to lead your life, to surrender to him as your Savior. I see you, every single one of you in the balcony. I see you in the center foyer, in the center area. And I see you standing up here in the front. Would you guys do me a favor from this point? Would you join me down here at the altar? So that I can pray for you, so that we can know you, so that we can know your story. Would you just make your way, if you're in the balcony or the center, would you turn around and come? Come on down.